Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Wednesday. It's state basketball tonight with George Mason. Pair of 6-3 teams head-to-head at the Jordan Center. A shame about Rashan Salaam, huh? So now they're saying it looks like the 42-year-old former Heisman Trophy winner took his own life. How awful. How awful.
And we posted the story last night at stevejonesshow.com. The mother spoke with USA Today Sports and had pretty much kind of tipped off and said, yeah, we think that's what happened, and possibility of a note was nearby. Details of the note
haven't been
released as of yet, but did fall on some hard financial times. Actually had to sell his Heisman ring 5 years ago.
That's a shame.
It is. Especially with Colorado now. I mean, they're not playing all that well in the conference the last 4 or 5 years, and now enjoying a nice ring of success, and now to it's just very, you know, very very tragic for everybody involved on the campus and friends
awful.
And family. It's bad all around.
The whole thing's awful. I mean, it just is.
He kept the people that are being interviewed said we had no clue that he was going through those kind of demons. Even former Colorado head coach Bill McCartney was interviewed,
right,
too. And I was just very, very shocked to hear the news, too, as to that was going on.
Stanford running back Christian McCaffrey is entering the NFL draft. Probably very late first, more than likely a second-round pick. So, you know, that's just a couple of things that you have going there. We are going to give you the bowl swag today. Huh? We're doing bowl swag.
Oh,
better run
down. What you and Jack will be receiving when you hop off the plane? Or
We do not get bowl swag. Okay, the last couple of years they have given us bowl-specific warm-ups, which is very, very nice. That's something you don't have to do. But that's it. Everything else? I mean, the players get $550. That's the limit from the NCAA. And they can give up to 125 of these gifts. And if the school needs to purchase more, they can. So that's how it works on Bowl Swag. But we'll run down each bowl for you as to what everybody gets. Now remember, the total's $550. There's one bowl where they get like a $305 Best Buy gift card. And you need to sit back and say, oh, $305, what a weird amount. But obviously the five gets you from $545 to $550. So that's how you do it.
So if you want the Bose Quiet Comfort headphones, you'll have to pay $35 out of pocket to cover.
Right, exactly. I mean,
last I checked, they were $339. Not
right.
That I have that on my list for this Christmas, but
oh no! Now that you're openly begging here, yeah, it's like, I mean, seriously, nobody could tell.
By the way, speaking of gifts, happy birthday to Penn State special teams captain Von Walker. Birthday today.
Yes, his birthday is today. And we should take a moment and recognize the historical significance of today. It was 75 years ago today that Pearl Harbor was bombed by Japanese forces. And between 2,000 and 3,000 brave Americans were killed that day. It obviously sent the United States into World War II. And because of the sacrifice and the efforts of every person in this country that pulled together, whether it was the soldier on the front line or people at home working in the factories, they set the foundation for what we've enjoyed over the last 70 years. Pearl Harbor, 75 years ago today, December 7th, 1941. As President Franklin Roosevelt said, a date that will live in infamy. So that is on the list here today.
Listen, our Governor Tom Wolf ordered the flags to go at half staff today.
Well, he should.
Absolutely.
No offense. Not a hard decision.
No.
I mean, really.
So if you're having a casual conversation and someone looks at a flag, why is it only halfway today?
It's like, right.
Now you know.
Right. No, that's perfectly fine. But he made the right decision, but I mean, no offense, this wasn't one of those I had to wrestle with moments.
No meaning required.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even need a show of hands. James Franklin named Sporting News National Coach of the Year. Second time that a Penn State head football coach has received the National Coach of the Year from the Sporting News. The previous winner in 2005, Joe Paterno. So, that's the news of the day here. Penn State men's ice hockey team, by the way, is ranked number 3 in the country.
That is awesome.
Unbelievable.
Drew Kelly and I caught a game a couple weeks ago.
And they're still talking about it.
Don't know about that, but yeah, we got to the Friday night Arizona State game where they sort of score 58 seconds in. A lot of scoring that night. It was a fun night.
Oh, yeah.
I think it ended up 7-4, 7-9, yeah.
Well, that's it is a great place to watch a game.
Oh, phenomenal, yeah. Barn, yeah.
I love hockey. Now, when you looked around, did you notice the ceiling?
To be honest with you, I did not look straight up.
Right? The ceiling is tin. Why? Because the noise reverberates off it. That's why it is the way it is. Next time you go in, take just a quick gaze upward. The roar zone is, well, not at a 90-degree angle. It's about at a 65-degree angle. It goes straight up almost in perception.
It is steep.
And guess which goaltender gets to be there for the first and third periods?
The other guy.
Yes, the other guy.
I will admit, though, the two hockey games I've had a chance to see at Pagula, students have been on break, so I haven't gotten the full effect of the roar and the noise. But
it's amazing.
It is cool just catching it on TV.
It is amazing.
That doesn't probably give it justice, though.
The ice, specialized, and they constantly try to tweak it, but they want as much speed out there as possible. So they try to make the ice in such a way where speed and quickness are a difference. And you're saying, well, ice is always fast. No. In fact, Sidney Crosby has told Terry Pegula that he loves playing in Buffalo because of the ice there. Well, it's the same way that here at Pegula. There's all these little things, these little touches that they put in here that made a difference.
For
$104 million, you can.
Yes, you can. Yeah, when you scratch the check, sure. One thing I did notice after we finished up here, I was on the way home last night listening to the Bucknell game. with Doug Birdsong over on Eagle 107. By the way, congrats to the Bison on their win over Fairfield last night. Doug was describing the arena, and it's actually primarily used for hockey up in Connecticut.
Yeah, Harbor Place or mm-hmm. what was it, Webster Bank now?
You are correct.
Yes, I just drove past there. It's right next to Interstate 95. I just drove past there.
I knew you'd know that place inside out.
Yes. So, it used to be called Harbor Yard. That's what it used to be called.
Yeah, they still had the boards and the up last night.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And Penn State's got George Mason tonight. And then Saturday at 2:30, they have Pitt at the Never Forget Games, the doubleheader. The other half of the doubleheader is Villanova and Notre Dame. It's not bad. Pretty strong doubleheader, don't you think? Penn State, Pitt, Villanova, Notre Dame. Not bad. It's the Never Forget Games. I believe the beneficiary out of that will be 9/11 families. Let's see.
Yeah, we'll have you and DJ on tonight right after Jolly Old St. Nick here on WKOK. You get to follow Santa tonight.
That's right. Santa Claus is back, right?
No pressure, yeah.
Now, Santa Claus is, 6 to 7 every night, right?
Monday through Friday night, yep. Boys and girls will be huddled around the Magic Radio. Kicked it off last Monday, so tonight will be show number 8. Talk to Santa.
Is this 81 or 82 years?
Since 33.
Wow.
Yes.
So it's what, 83 years?
3, 4, 5, 6. I guess if you count 33, be what?
84th year.
Mm-hmm.
The 84th year we've had Santa on the air.
Longest running children's radio program in the United States.
In fact, I mean, here's a recreation from two nights ago, right? Where all of a sudden Santa's sitting there and all of a sudden, oh! Right? That was the suit sitting on his lap. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. S. Claus in the building again tonight. Rough moment last night when the suit went to sit on his lap. And not only that, I don't know what was tougher, the fact that the suit tried to sit on his lap or the long lift. Holy mackerel.
Yeah, there have been some times, I think, where there have been some certain employees of Sunbury Broadcasting. They'll go over into the Magic Radio room, turn it on, try to connect with the North Pole just to try to get, to stay in the good guy's graces. So,
yeah.
I've been tempted to do that, but I've not.
Well, he does. Yeah. It's just sad. Over and over again. Yeah, it's like Costanza at the little kids' party.
I think the only one that really has the cachet regarding the Magic Radio and the big guy would be Ann Blugis, since she's been the hostess of the show for so long and just connecting with the kids coming in. So it's really
absolutely.
Yeah, so if you're having a grinchy kind of day, yeah, check it out. Weeknights through Christmas Eve.
Yeah, but the suit's like Costanza at the little kids' party, where he throws them out of the way to get to the door first. Like, you can't.
I'll admit, I may be kind of that way, depending on what's on the dinner buffet. I may be, how hungry I am. But
I mean, between that and the fact he's now seen more movies than Movie Mike is concerning.
I was waiting for that.
Get out of the way, kids! It's a suit! Yes, but I just want to ask for a bike. I want everything from a card all the way down.
Or another iTunes card so I can buy more movies.
Why bother buying more movies when you can just go to the theater during work hours? All right.
Or just follow Movie Mike in.
The guy, there's a big guy in the back. That's the suit. Okay. Very nice.
Reunite with the Chief this weekend. Be back. He and Dave Ritchie be back on for Shikellamy basketball this weekend as they crank up the season. Got some games up in Towanda coming up Friday and Saturday.
Oh, he'll complain all the way up in the drive.
He already is. I just talked to him in the hall right before we came on the air here.
Dave's going to be like a hostage.
Be like, God, didn't the season just end 2 weeks ago?
Where's Frilazzo? Frilazzo's such a nice guy. If I could just give me some peace for a week.
Mike's been doing some PA announcing at Susquehanna University for basketball.
Hey, Mike does a great job.
He sure does.
Next half hour, Greg Pickle, PennLive.com, and the Patriot News. We'll talk with him. The high school football championship games are coming up this weekend at Hershey, which you would expect to be well attended by many named coaches, because guess what? With six championship games, you have a lot of talent on that field this weekend. A lot of talent. Some of it is verbally committed. Some has not. So we'll talk to Greg about that coming up in the next half hour. And six classifications for the first time ever. Way down at Hershey. They claim that stadium seats 30,000. Is that true? I mean, I thought it was like a 20,000 seat stadium. They claim it's 30,000. I haven't been there in 20 years.
I would think during a big, if it's a giant, like the biggest concert they would have all year, combining who's in the stands and who's on the floor, I would think it would be somewhere between 25-30, depending on who they would.
Aren't Guns N' Roses? Aren't they going there this summer?
Guns N' Roses are going to tour again. This past summer they toured, and I heard they're going to have another one in 2017.
I heard that Hershey might be one of the
stops. That's no-brainer to me. That makes sense to me. Yeah, they played both Heinz Field, and last summer they also played down at the Link back in July.
And the only reason I know is that Santa told me that some gigantic elf last night asked for Guns N' Roses tickets.
You're a big fan.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, great to be with you. Penn State George Mason tonight. Our airtime, 7 o'clock, because Santa comes first. I already know what I'm going to ask for Santa. An invite to the company holiday parties. Yep.
Well, we'll be doing our regular show on Friday afternoon, the 23rd, and I know you normally have commitments prior to, when we do our thing here, 3 to 5 live on WKOK, but if you're able to, come down early, have some lunch, and hang down here with me on the other side of the glass, and we'll call your brother up, and we'll do more picks.
No, you had your chance.
Save face fail. I wasn't in charge of delivering the invites. There you go. Wakeman said you could be her plus one.
And I will be there.
I figured that's all it would take.
My golfing buddy always comes through every time.
Yep, sir.
My clutch partner.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This day, sports history, 1925, swimmer Johnny Weissmuller set a world record in the 150-yard freestyle in a time of a minute, 25 and 2/5 seconds. Weissmuller, better known to most people as the guy that went on to play Tarzan in the movies. Huh? See? Pop culture to go with these sports. 1939, Lou Gehrig was elected to baseball's Hall of Fame. He was the first player to have the rule waived that required a player to be retired 1 year before he could be elected. Now, of course, the rule is 5 years. 1963, CBS introduced the first ever instant replay during the Army-Navy game. And they had to put up in graphic that it was a replay. I believe they put up isolated replay was what they put up. 1978, one of the great wingers ever. Mike Bossy, New York Islanders, got his first ever hat trick. First of many. 1986, Huey Lewis in the news sang the national anthem a cappella before a Niners-Jets game at Candlestick Park in San Francisco. Aren't those two teams playing this week? I believe they are. I mean, if they are, the NFL should refund the money on that game.
San Francisco and the Jets, you said?
Yes.
They play next week, I believe. I thought it was next week.
Well, either way, the NFL should refund that money.
Oh, that's going to be, forget it.
I mean, excuse me, brutal. 1988, the Texas Rangers signed free agent pitcher Nolan Ryan to a one-year contract. I think it was worth it.
By the way, Jets San Francisco, they do play this Sunday at 4:05. Your 49ers are favored by 2.5.
They aren't my 49ers.
No.
I know Bob Wischusen, the Jets play-by-play guy. And I've met a couple of times Ted Robinson, the Niners play-by-play guy.
He's excellent calling tennis, too.
Two guys at the moment doing it for the money. No, there's no passion of what they're seeing out there right now.
I think Bob called a couple of Penn State, and TV games.
He
yeah.
did. No,
yeah.
no, Bob's. Last time I talked to Bob was at Indiana. So, all right. Next hour, we'll do the bowl swag. 4:06. We'll have some fun with that. We'll bring in Greg Pickle now from PennLive.com and the Patriot News. Greg, welcome. What were your thoughts on how it played out Saturday night?
Yeah, what a game that was, huh? I mean, I think when Penn State got into a situation where they had the second, fourth down attempt go awry, it felt like that maybe this wasn't going to be the year for the Lions to win the Big Ten championship. But I think that changed in a hurry, and it maybe was the play of the game, the key of the game. It was a touchdown before the first half bell when Trace McSorley hit a leaping Saeed Blacknell, and then he raced 40 yards into the end zone. That really was the moment you thought, okay, if Penn State can settle down here and come out in the second half and do what it's done pretty much all year long, they have a real good chance to win this football game, and that's exactly what they did. So I think when, you know, you put it all into perspective, and obviously a seasoned Penn State fan, the media that follow the team, many didn't really see coming, and it culminated in a way that, you know, we've seen all year, so I think it was kind of fitting that, you know, a team that just built its way back through second half comebacks. Obviously, some games they didn't need it because they took care of business in the first half, but more often than not, it was a script the same they followed in the Big Ten championship game, and it got the job done for them yet again.
Now that you've had at least a couple of days to think about all this, you know, when you go week to week, you're going week to week and saying, okay, wow, all right. Now that you had a chance to think about it, how do you think all of this came about?
Well, you know, I think that one of the things that struck me listening to some of the kids talk before senior day and then after that win over Michigan State was, I think it's pretty clear that at first a lot of these guys were a bit shell-shocked when James Franklin and his staff arrived, and with good reason. Some of them had three head coaches. Some of them had two. You had a lot of new faces in the program. And Brevin Schwan talking after the Michigan State game that, you know, those guys showed up at a time when the winter workouts were close to starting again. And, you know, you have coaches and strength and conditioning guys that you have absolutely no relationship with, you know, yelling at you and telling you you got to do this differently and you're doing this and that wrong. And for a lot of guys, I think it sort of took them aback, not just the fact that things were new, but they didn't really have a relationship with these guys and they had been through so much already. So I think when they started to win, obviously the Minnesota game is the one that is endlessly going to be pointed to, but I think that really was the moment that it all clicked. And I think they realized that, you know, we can do this, and they obviously bought into Joe Moorhead and Brent Pry as two new coordinators this season, and that was a big deal. And obviously everything just came together from there. The Ohio State game, the sort of highlight moment that really everything came together for the first time for a big win, and things just really took care of business from there. But I think looking back on it all and listening to those guys talk, it was really the Minnesota game that sort of flipped the season, and then the Ohio State game, when really everything that James Franklin, his coaching staff, and his players had been preaching for 3 years now really became apparent to anyone watching them. You know, these guys were all bought into that idea, and from there it was history.
The next step is to continue recruiting, obviously, and James Franklin and his staff are out now recruiting. The championship games for the PIAA are in Hershey this weekend. How important is it to have a presence there, and how many really good prospects are there?
It's a pretty good weekend. I was just talking to somebody today. You know, there's been weekends where the state title game has brought a lot of talent to Pennsylvania and then Hershey in general for the state title game. But with the expanded classifications and more teams playing for championships, you know, you have more kids there, you know, from different teams than probably ever before that are high-level talent. So I don't envy Penn State in this regard because it's tough. You know, there's games on the game on Thursday night, there's the game three games on Friday, I believe it is, and then three more on Saturday, something like that. And it's tough because you want to have representation in all of those games, so none of the schools, none of the coaches, none of the players feel slighted like you skip their game, because you just never know where the next star is going to pop up down the road, and you just don't, you can't offend someone. I know that sounds ridiculous maybe to some of the listeners, but I'm telling you, it happens. You know, people remember things, and they want to remember Penn State, the Big Ten champions, and the Rose Bowl participants having a coach at their state title game. So, you know, it's tough because, you, like I said, you have games on three separate days. I'm sure they'll probably do some rotation. You know, guys are still trying to finish up recruiting the class of 2017, obviously looking ahead to 18, 19, and 20 as well during this contact period that ends December 12th or December 11th, one day or the other. This weekend it's over. So, you know, they'll get some guys down there, and it's a good weekend if you're a Penn State fan. You know, Lamont Wade and Clarendon will be in town. You have Donovan Jeter, who's going to Michigan. He'll play on Saturday. You know, there's a whole host of guys. Mark Webb and DeAndre Swift will play this weekend. The two, Webb at Archbishop Wood and Swift at St. Joe's, they'll play. So, and those two are going to Georgia. So you have some other Penn State guys as well as T.J. Thorpe and Pittsburgh Central Catholic. So it's a really nice little group of prospects this week. And even if you don't have a rooting interest, you can certainly see some of the state's best players and some guys Penn State is looking at play this weekend.
After this weekend, what, if anything, can they do? And when's the next time it really opens up?
You talking recruiting-wise?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so they can, you know, during the dead period, they're still allowed to have some contact. A lot of schools don't, though. I mean, you think about the kids and their families and the coaches and their families. Everyone just needs sort of a break. So, you know, everyone will just kind of step back a little bit. There are some small amounts of contact you're allowed to have during the dead period, all over the phone or through direct messages and stuff like that. But everyone just sort of takes a step back, enjoys the time with their family and friends, and then things really get going again in the middle of January. That's when you can get back out on the road pretty much right up until National Signing Day in the first week of February. So you get about a month hiatus, and then things really kick into overdrive for the final 3 weeks of January.
But early commitments can sign on December 17th, correct?
Yeah, and they can, you know, obviously there's different rules for those guys, so they can have a little bit more contact with the staff than guys that are either A, uncommitted, or B, obviously younger. You're talking the 2018, 2019, 2020 guys, right, so on and so forth. So, yeah, those guys that are coming in early, they'll do have a, you know, especially if they sign that, you know, the financial aid agreement, then, you know, things open up a little bit more there for what they can do. But still, even those guys will be guys that, you know, sort of take a step back as well. And you really don't see or hear too much on the contact front. But obviously with those guys, you know, they have to prepare for their college career because it's starting in just a few weeks. So they'll have questions and all that, and the staff and the administrative and academic people are able to answer all those. So Penn State's in good shape on that front, and so are the kids.
What are your thoughts on the Rose Bowl matchup with Southern California?
Oh, I think it's fascinating. You're talking about two of the hottest teams in the country. There's no question about that. You know, playing obviously in an iconic place, and for a lot of these kids and coaches, maybe didn't think they'd end up there this year, and here we are. So it's interesting. USC is obviously a team that had some flaws earlier in the season, just like Penn State did, and now it's playing at a very, very high level. And you look at, you know, how they match up with Penn State, and I think it could go any number of different ways. You know, both sides have very talented players that, you know, will want to stretch the field. So I think that you might see some points put up in this game. But at the same time, both defenses aren't half bad either. If you look at what they did against very talented, you know, the best of their schedule, both defenses have had moments where they shined as well. So I think it's a really interesting matchup. You'll get some strength on strength and some weaknesses on strength. And overall, Steve, I think it probably is going to be one of the better bowl games on the slate this year.
Greg, should it stay at 4 or should they realistically consider 8?
Yeah, I'm on board with eight, Steve. At this point, I am. And it's not just because Penn State was left out. I think it just makes too much sense. And let's be honest, nothing really matters here. Penn State does not matter. Some of those schools get left out does not matter. It's all about money and how the TV networks and college football can make as much money as they possibly can. Mark Emmert said today at a conference in New York that he favors eight teams, so I think the Boulder's already starting to roll downhill. It's going to make the networks more money. It'll make the, you know, the advertisers more money. So I think we're going to go in that direction, and I think it makes sense. It just, you know, if you want people to worry about these conference title games and all that, of course, you know, one way to look at it is, well, Penn State lost once more than everybody else, and that's fine. But I think at the same time, it makes sense to have all five Power Five conference champs in. And then if you want to have a committee for the last three teams or the last two teams, if you put a group of five in, go ahead.
Yeah, that's called five plus three. That is the proposal, five plus three, where it's suddenly the championship games on Saturday all have exponential meaning. And then the committee comes out and they give the three at-large teams like the NCAA men's basketball tournament does.
Yeah, I think it makes sense. And James Franklin's right that no matter how big you make the pool,
right,
you're always going to have teams that feel left out. But it does make sense that if you win your conference, of course, I do understand the drawback, though. If Florida beats Alabama, they're in. And you could very well easily make the case that they wouldn't, you know, be in the current language, one of the best four teams in the country, yet under that proposal they'd be in. So I get why some people are hesitant to do it, but at the same time, you line up and play the games, and, you know, it again, it all comes back to money and TV, and I think an expanded playoff would only help both of those fronts.
Right. Thanks so much, Greg. Appreciate your time very much.
Always a pleasure, Steve. Talk to you soon.
And that is Greg Pickle, PennLive.com, and the Patriot News. We will come back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, and Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the FMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Merce family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The FMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The FMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. So based on what I heard during the break, let me see if I have my analysis of this correctly.
Okay.
Is that Jamie is going out working extremely hard and the suit is coattailing his way to sales. Is that what I'm getting here?
I thought it was more of a tag team effort, but you could be. I think that sounds rather accurate what you're saying.
It's like sending Tim Wakefield out there with Aroldis Chapman. I mean, she's out there throwing 102, and he's knuckleballing it to the plate. I mean, really.
It's being a Chapman. I guess he's no longer with the Cubs.
Well, he wanted 6 years. The Cubs are like,
no. Okay, we'll get Wade Davis instead.
We'll get Wade Davis. You, gone. Right. You weren't exactly lighting us up.
I wonder if the Nationals were looking at Wade Davis now that Melanson left for, he went to San Francisco, correct?
Yeah, he took the Giants offer, yeah. So,
yeah.
And that's how it works. It's everybody's out there, you know, I mean, this is that time. Now, the Red Sox traded for Chris Sale, and the Cubs traded for Wade Davis. So they did trade for him. It is not a free agent signing. And, I mean, Wade Davis goes out and gets legitimate saves. I mean, there are some people in life who just tag on to somebody else and then go into the staff meeting and take credit. Who am I referring to?
Who could it be now?
Who could that be? I'm not even on the show. He's killing me. Ah, yes. But we did get some good news from the suit.
We did.
All very good. So. All very good. And great to have everybody on board with us today. Next half hour, bowl swag. People have asked about bowl swag. What do they get? Let me tell you what the parameters of bowl swag happen to be. You're allowed under NCAA rules to give each player $550. They get 550. Okay? And they can do this to up to 125 people. So if your team has more than 125 players with all your walk-ons, you can... the school can then buy more. And we'll run down the bowl swag each school, each set of players will be getting. What is your bowl swag? And we'll go from there. All 40 bowls giving out gifts. Only one did not disclose gifts. All the others did. But we'll do that in the next half hour. That's always fun. People always want to know, hey, what did the players get? What did the players get? Well, that's what, you know, we're gonna find out. That's what they get. Very nice. Well done. And that's what we'll do in the next half hour. So. And the, let's see, the Phillies have made no moves. Pirates have made no moves. The Cubs got Wade Davis and the Red Sox got Chris Sale. You tell me who's headed toward the World Series.
I'm just kind of wondering, Pirates phones are busy. See if which team will see who they can pair up with for Andrew McCutchen. Just makes me wonder if it's only a matter of time.
Yeah. Let's see. Well, I guess what Mitch Moreland, I guess, signed with the Red Sox? Really? So they're doing, actually, they're now doing a position by position. Who's better between the Red Sox and the Cubs? All right. So they've got Wilson Contreras versus Sandy Leon. Contreras got a better bat. Rizzo versus Moreland. That's big on Rizzo. Pedroia against Baez. It's easily Pedroia. Chris Bryant, Brig over Pablo Sandoval. Really? Yeah. Xander Bogaerts is better than Addison Russell. Yep. Kyle Schwarber for the moment better than Andrew Benintendi. Benintendi's going to be a really good player. Jackie Bradley better than John Jay. Let's see. Mookie Betts better than Jason Hayward. Bench Zobrist was really good. Almora, La Stella, Montero against Hanley Ramirez, Brock Holt, Chris Young, Christian Vasquez. Well, I mean, Ramirez is the first baseman. He might be the DH when it's all said and done. And the aces, Lester Arrieta, Kyle Hendricks against Chris Sale, Rick Porcello, and David Price. Wow.